Welcome back. You're listening to This Week on RTE Radio 1. What does the death of Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar mean for Israel's war in Gaza and Lebanon? Sinwar was the architect of the Hamas attacks on Israel on October 7th last year. His killing was the culmination of a year-long manhunt by Israel's defence forces and intelligence services. The Israeli Prime Minister said his death was the beginning of the end for Hamas. But Israel continues its bombardment of Gaza, with reports today that 87 people have been killed in airstrikes on northern Gaza, according to Gaza's Hamas-run health ministry. Separately, around 70 rockets were launched from Lebanon towards Israel today, according to the IDF. Well, we can talk now to Tahani Mustafa, senior Palestine analyst with the International Crisis Group. Good afternoon and welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon.
And we see today that the bombing of Gaza continues. But does the death of Yahya Sinwar create any space for Israel to accept a military victory over Hamas and move towards a ceasefire?
Well, you know, it should. It should, you know, provide Israel with some kind of leeway here, especially Netanyahu, to claim some kind of military victory in terms of meeting at least one of his military objectives, the other being the total destruction of Hamas, which he hasn't been able to achieve yet. But certainly by targeting its main leader, that is definitely something that can be considered a symbolic win. However, Netanyahu has already made it very clear that he has no intention to pursue a ceasefire, that the war will continue and that it will continue for many years to come now. So it makes it very clear that this really does have nothing to do with Yahya Sinwar. This is not about any particular individual. It's not necessarily about any particular Palestinian faction. There are broader war goals here at play, which is something that has been obviously now sort of dissected and scrutinized since the recent evacuation plan in the north on the 8th of October. And the death of Yahya Sinwar has clearly indicated that there's going to be absolutely no change in terms of Israel's intensification of its campaign in Gaza, nor in terms of easing the humanitarian situation in Gaza, or in terms of simply rolling back its besiegement of the north now.
And that appears evident from what we've seen today with the bombing of the northern part of Gaza and the killing of those 87 people. What then does Netanyahu mean when he says that we have reached the beginning of the end?
Well, Netanyahu has been very clear since the outset, and so is his administration, and so is the security establishment, that this is about ensuring that Israel's sense of security will never be threatened again. And we've seen that through numerous Israeli statements to the effect. We've seen that through the operationalization of its military campaign. Netanyahu is effectively trying to ensure, as is the broader Israeli establishment, is trying to ensure that Gaza will never be in a position to threaten Israel's sense of security, which means that we can never expect Gaza to ever go back to the way that it was. We can never expect the routinization of daily life. We can't really expect any serious reconstruction. What we are seeing today is effectively going to be the future of Gaza, which is a tent city in ruins, dependent on aid for everything, and where the population will never be able to feel a sense of permanency on the land.
For Palestinians, what does the death of Yahya Sinwar mean?
Well, look, you know, Palestinians are not the sort of, I guess you could say, it is not a national movement that's necessarily centralized around any particular figure. Of course, there was a lot of symbolism around his death, and it certainly resonated with a lot of Palestinians that didn't ideologically align with people like Sinwar, that were not, you know, in favor of people like Sinwar. If anything, actually, Yahya Sinwar and Hamas's popularity has plummeted in the last 6 months. But this was definitely something that resonated with them, given the context that Palestinians in both the West Bank and Gaza are now living under, you know, which is one of an incredibly violent occupation. And to see, you know, a leader, which for the longest time Israel had been trying to peddle a narrative that Palestinian leadership were either living in luxury in Qatar or hiding underground in tunnels or using human shields. And that simply wasn't the case at all, as many have seen in the video. And so to see someone, you know, as a high figure like Yahya Sinwar fighting until his last breath was, you know, quite a moving image for Palestinians that definitely resonated with the sort of determination for you know, their struggle, the will to live, the will to want to live, the will to live in dignity, and, you know, effectively fighting for a cause that is so central to them, which is liberation and self-determination.
As somebody who analyzes the region, at what point do you think we can begin to think about Gaza, or a Gaza that is not under siege from Israel, that is not under the type of siege that we've seen since last October, and you know, which is intensified by the bombings of recent months?
Well, there's never been a point in history where Gaza hasn't been in under some form of siege. You know, that's been precisely the kind of rationale as to why Hamas did what it did on the 7th of October, not to justify, obviously, what had happened. But, you know, that has been the frustration amongst many Palestinians, is this constant besiegement. Now, to envision a future where that doesn't exist, where Palestinians are not under some form of blockade, obviously what we've seen since the 7th of October has been a far more accelerated version of that. But, you know, that requires political pressure, and that is something that the international community has really failed to do. It has failed to act as a deterrent. It's failed to bring a ceasefire to fruition. And worse yet, we are hearing from international practitioners, those that are involved in day after plans, that Israel has no interest, has absolutely no intent to ensure that Gaza will not be under a siege once this is all over. There is no all over for this. You know, what we are seeing today is exactly what Israel is now planning in its post-war, and I use this very lightly, post-war vision for Gaza, which is its reoccupation or reinforcement of ground troops in the north, potentially the resettlement in the north, and whatever is left of Gaza's population will be relegated to a very tiny strip of the south. And again, reliant on aid for everything. Okay. And, you know, that's something that UN organizations have stated. It's something that those that are involved in international missions like Britain, the US, you know, those sorts of entities that are involved in day after planning, you know, that is quite an incredibly disturbing reality. Okay. That many of us have now had to come to sort of accept that is very much what Israel will allow. And, you know, unfortunately, that's just something that the international community is going to have to simply go along with.
All right.
Unless there is political pressure.
Tahani Mustafa, Senior Palestine Analyst at the International Crisis Group, thank you very much for speaking with us today.